Thanks for listening to Tights and Fights. We always get asked when we're going to have merch available. Well, one way you can help with that is by leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. Like this one from BustAMove21. They say, "We're a show by fans, for fans, that doesn't dip into the negativity of other shows, and we always find something worth putting over." So, if you want to help us get t-shirts available, go to iTunes and hit all 5 of them stars. Now let's get to the show.
Tights and Fights Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Wrestling podcast.
Wrestling podcast. Mm-mm. Wrestling podcast. Wrestling podcast. Wrestling podcast. Michael Danielle. Michael Danielle. Michael Danielle.
Julian Burrell.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the 62-minute man, Hal Lublin, and I'm joined by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the woman who holds weekly festivals of friendship, Danielle Radford.
Hello.
And the cruiser great, Mike Eagle.
Hello.
Coming up on this week's show, Dead End Friendships, Wyatt Family Feud, Understanding Misandry, and a lot more. But first, SmackDown's exclusive special, Elimination Chamber, happened this past Sunday. Before we get into some of the specifics, I'll say overall, pretty strong show. I have some friends who I text about wrestling, and they were like, one or two of them. I'm not going to classify all of them. And I know we're going to talk about Misandry later, but they were like, three women's matches? Like, what? It was like, what do you think Meltzer will rate them? How many stars will he give them? And I was like, they'll all get more stars than Ziggler versus Kalisto and Apollo Crews.
Yeah.
Because they're all good. So I love the Elimination Chamber. Like, overall, I thought it was a really strong pay-per-view and a significant pay-per-view for women's wrestling, given how involved they were up and down the card and not just throwaways. Like, there were three solid matches. What did you guys think?
I went into Elimination Chamber being like, ugh, because it's like my least favorite pay-per-view of the year, and I think that the Chamber match is the dumbest, and I wasn't expecting anything to happen, and then a bunch of really cool things happened.
Yeah.
I was very pleasantly surprised. I know, like, I'm always like, it's the road to WrestleMania, that means things are happening, but I never, like, actually expect things to happen. I just, like, hope that they will, or it'll be, like, things that I expect to happen, but I was not expecting Naomi and Bray to go over at all. So that was fantastic.
Yeah, two title changes. Naomi winning her match against Alexa Bliss, and then Bray Wyatt pinning AJ Styles to win the WWE title. Mike, how do you feel about Bray winning the championship?
Really excited about it.
Yeah?
I feel like I could have been one of those people the next on SmackDown chanting, "You deserve it," at him.
Mm.
I feel like him having that kind of prominence in storyline is a long time coming. He's a really strong character. I think it was really good that he went over, and it was a really great match. You know, I feel like everybody in that match really competed, and everybody looked like they could have won. So, yeah, you know, I was really happy that he came out on top.
Danielle and I were talking about this because we're all friends. You were not here yet, though. he's been so stop and start, and I agree with you. I love the character, Mike. But do you think does this heat him up enough? Does it sort of drag the title down? Or is it, and we'll talk about some of the developments that came out of that win. But, you know, it just feels a little bit backwards. It feels like there's no way to telegraph it. So maybe in that way it was a good surprise.
I mean, but I think he needed the legitimacy of winning the big one.
For yep. once.
He's been in so many yeah. feuds where he didn't win the big one. So I really feel like he needed this so that now the next time, I mean, who knows how long he's going to hold the belt this time, but the next sure. time he's in a position to challenge for a title, you might actually think he can win.
That's true.
I think that because of all of the stuff that they've been doing, because the Wyatt family stuff has been, you know, it's been what it's been. Like, the stuff with Orton is like, but, like, it has been interesting, and it's obviously been something that they've been kind of pushing and working towards. I did not expect him to win a title because Bray Wyatt does not win titles.
Right.
But, yeah, no, I don't think for me, it doesn't bring the title down. It's just one of those things where it's like, look, a dude who has, you know, been doing it and been working at it and who has been great on the mic finally got, like, his shot. And so that just kind of makes me feel all, like, nice inside.
And also, I feel like the way that you're talking about doing it, where they heat a guy up and heat a guy up and heat a guy up and then give him a title, they just haven't done that, I feel like, in years on either brand. I feel like that's not really the way that they put titles on people anymore.
You don't think, well, Ambrose, you're right. He got heated up. He's just sort of stayed. He's just sort of over.
Right. But, you know, at his hottest, he didn't get the bout. At his hottest, they had Brock Lesnar squash him. You know, like.
No, you're right.
Yeah, they, boy, you know, they you really, ain't never lied.
Yeah, they really, like, every, you know, since the 50-50 booking started, it's just, they just put a title on a person whenever they're ready to, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Let's jump ahead to SmackDown, where we found out that the number one contender, Randy Orton, refuses to fight his Wyatt family patriarch. Does this up your intrigue for WrestleMania? Let me jump in with my answer, which is no, because I feel like I've seen the storyline of Randy Orton stringing somebody along before he turns on them so many times that this just feels like, pick up this dollar bill. I swear it's not attached to a fishing rod. I swear. This one's different than all the other dollar bills. Go get it. Like, do you buy it? Does it really? It would be interesting if you didn't know the history of
Randy
Orton.
There's no poo on this dollar bill.
It's just a burning bag. You've got to put it out.
Lucy Orton with the football.
Yeah.
I'll hold it. I'll keep holding it. I'll keep holding it.
But Danielle, do you think that his past history makes that less intriguing as a storyline point?
So many good unexpected things happen this week that I want to keep believing. Like, I want to keep, so I'm letting myself, I know I'm going to, at the end of it, I'm going to be like, oh, God damn it, I got Ortoned. But like, but yeah, like, so that's, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to be the little cute, naive bear that I am. And I'm going to choose to believe that this time this is actually leading to something. And it's not just going to be the inevitable swerve that we, like, it doesn't even, can you call it a swerve when you know you're going to get swerved? Well, is there like a different, like a swerve?
But here's
like
the thing.
Name for it.
Here's something that maybe does, and I was sitting here just thinking about my own things while you were talking. I'm sorry. No. No, there was a further development around it. So he relinquishes, for all intents and purposes, he's saying, I'm not going to wrestle you for the title as long as you have it. So he gives up his title shot, and then Daniel Bryan announces a battle royal for the number one contendership next week on SmackDown. Are you interested? Do you think this match is going to become a triple threat? Because to me, the money, there's money in Wyatt versus Orton, but not at WrestleMania, not yet.
Right.
Like, have a turn happen there that sets up their match later. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I think a triple threat makes some sense because, and then at that point, okay, so there is a number one contender, so Randy can jump in and say, oh, well, I do want the match after all. Mr. McMahon. and then he can do it under the guise of wanting to make sure that Bray keeps the title.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he just, you know, oh, he'll take the pinfall or whatever, and there's a possibility for a swerve there, and it becomes interesting. So that's a possibility, at least. I don't like this battle royal idea, though, because, I don't know, we just did the Royal Rumble for the number one contendership.
Right.
And that basically got erased. And now we're going to do a less fun Royal Rumble. Yeah. Where everybody starts at the same time.
Yeah. That's maybe a misstep. I'm kind of over triple threats right now, and I think maybe it's just right. Because, like, the women's divisions have done them so often that I'm kind of like, two dudes! Just two!
Too many dudes.
Like, I just don't... I don't need... Like, it's fun, and I get it, and someone gets to sleep while other people are wrestling, and that's great. But I don't... I'm kind of... If you're going to do a triple threat, I want it to be something that's really special.
Yeah.
Not just like a triple threat for the title, which is a thing that we see like all the time.
Right. Well, let's stay on the train of championships and contenders because Bray Wyatt was one of three new champions crowned this week. So Naomi and Bayley both captured the women's title for their respective brands. Let's stick with SmackDown first. Danielle, starting out with Naomi, how excited were you to see her carry the title to actually win after, what, 8 years?
Yeah.
Given her, I mean, her promos are just, I can't get on board. I saw her on Talking Smack.
SmackDown was, her promo on SmackDown this week was great. I think it was the strongest that she's ever done it. I think it was the most connected she's ever been.
Right.
I've always, and I was going to save, because I wanted to type it on the thingy thing, but I was like, no, we have a whole show. I'll talk about it here. But then she did the thing I thought she was going to do, where there is something about having, like, to having mic skills, it's confidence. And when you've been with the company for 8 years and they haven't put a title on you except for like way, way back in like the FCW days, you're not necessarily going to have that, like, you know, as I call it, not in, it's whatever. I call it big dick confidence. Just that, like, yeah, I'm fucking the shit. I'm that person. Right. And she's not going to have like a lot of confidence if she doesn't feel like the company has confidence in her, because of all of the women who have been around, who are part of the current roster, that have been around as long as Naomi, she's like the only one that's never had a title on the main roster. Everyone else has had a title. Fox held the title. Natalia's held the title. Everyone else has held the title that's been there as long as she has, but her. So for 8 years, you're just watching yourself get like picked over and picked over. And now that she's got a title, you see that confidence in her. Like, she looked like she was like, yeah, they believe in me, and now I believe in me.
Yeah, I get that. But I also think the confidence gets you the title instead of the title getting you the confidence.
Oh,
but
I agree.
I'm glad that work is better. Her in-ring work is great. Mike, do you think it was the right move to take the title off of Alexa Bliss right now?
I still don't know. It's kind of a head-scratcher to me. I do think Naomi is very deserving, but
yeah.
I look at the lineage of this SmackDown Women's title so far, and it doesn't seem like they really ever leave it on anybody long enough to give it that credibility that it needs. Like, you know, and the Raw Women's title, it gets, you know, tossed around too, as I'm sure we'll get to. But for some reason, it seems to have a little bit more legitimacy just because it mostly just goes back and forth between two people. Whereas the SmackDown title is from Becky to Alexa now to Naomi. Has it just been those three that have had it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. For some reason, it just doesn't seem like...
Because it's new. It's a new... And with the Raw Women's title, I think it also has what feels like more legitimacy, because we had that thing where it went from Divas title to... Right. They had the big ceremony. It was a big shit-ass deal. And all the SmackDown... The new SmackDown titles... If it's a new title, I think you do have to keep it on someone for a minute, because that's what gives it legitimacy. It can't. And with them, I think they just think, we made it. Two people are fighting for it. It's legitimate because we say it's legitimate. And I don't know if it works that way.
I don't think it does.
Let me give you another angle on it, though. Could it be that they're building the legitimacy of the division by saying, look, Mickie James, we know, past champion. Nikki Bella was the longest reigning Divas champion. We know she could hold a belt. Natalia as well. So now we've taken three women who had yet to hold a championship in WWE, that now they've all been champion. So again, you have six women, all of whom credibly could be champion. So
I think that kind of has the same effect as 50-50 booking, though. It kind of makes the playing field a little too level. Like, the thing about having the title on one person for a long time is that it makes them look dominant. And if you make somebody look dominant, then when they lose it, it's a big deal.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
There's a reason Michael Jordan was like, Michael Jordan. there's a reason. Yeah. And then when
now
someone...
the Sonics can win. It's your turn, guys. Come on, Peyton. Let's jump over to Raw, where Bayley won the title on Raw after losing on a pay-per-view, only to probably lose it at the next pay-per-view and then win it on Raw and then lose it at pay-per-view so she can win it on Raw so that Charlotte can keep her pay-per-view streak alive. I mean, look, I'm happy for Bayley, but does this repetitive booking of that division, is it getting too predictable now?
I'm happy for Bayley. Bayley doesn't need to be the champion right now.
Right.
Like, I was okay with keeping it on. If you're going to do that thing where they played hot potato with it for so long, to have it on Charlotte through WrestleMania. I mean, obviously, I want Sasha Bayley. We all want Sasha Bayley. We're all, especially me, hoping that this is going to lead to Sasha turning. But it's like, we can do all of that like after WrestleMania. I think it would have maybe been a better move if Bayley didn't get the title until after WrestleMania. Because we all know it does almost feel like they're taking turns. And maybe that's why it was the SmackDown stuff was so nice, because I was like, it ain't either of these people's turns, but it was. It was their turn.
If we want to talk about story problems, we can talk about the tag team division. Because rounding up all the championship talk, American Alpha, Jason Jordan and Chad Gable defeated basically every other team in a tag team turmoil match on Sunday. The winning streak continued on Tuesday when they beat the Ascension. What the fuck? I love their tag. I love all the personnel in their tag team division. I like that the Vaudevillains got more than 30 seconds in a match.
Yeah.
I love those guys. Simon is a friend, but Like, I like those guys. I like their gimmick.
My name's Hal. I have friends.
I have some
You've
friends.
You've referenced that you have friends like four times during this episode. I just want to make sure.
I just want to feel love. I'm not okay. I am not okay is the answer. But, like, I just wish if you want to start a program between the Usos and American Alpha, then have the Ascension win the belts. Then you've got like a ready-made feud other than the Usos beat us up, but we still won, so we're mad at them. So American Alpha comes in. They've got nothing to chase. They just show up. They flop out their big dicks because they got big dick confidence.
They got big dick confidence.
They got long hair and hair bands around their dicks.
Or I guess it's suplex confidence in that case.
Suplex.
They got that suplex confidence.
They got that suplex confidence. And then now they're at the top of a mountain that feels like a speed bump. Because they didn't have to work for it at all. They didn't have to climb. And they have so many good people there that, for me watching them, they seem ice cold. Maybe somebody else is really excited. Like, the Ascension got a pop when they won right before the pay-per-view.
American Alpha, like, they got... Yeah, none of...
No, but there's just no reaction. They like, they nothing. Won to, like, to
they're,
nothing.
They're too good to not get anything. That's booking. That's like, they are too talented and too charming to be getting friggin' crickets.
I agree. So, let me ask, Mike, let me ask you this question. Can you rebuild this tag division with the teams you have right now, or do you need to bring in a revival to actually get it kickstarted again?
I think you can do it with the Usos, and you can just have them cheat to win the titles in some really blatant way, and or destroy them somehow, like hurt them again, you know. And I think that you know, because I think what the story is here is that they are like American Alpha are the two best wrestlers in the division,
sure,
and that. The way it's positioned right now, nobody can beat them through straight up competition. So now it seemed like the Usos, which have nothing to lose at this point, has to just bring up crowbars or something, and you know, and like lawn dart Chad Gable against the production truck or something, you know, like and I think they'll get heat that way, and I think that's the way that they'll end up getting the belts, and it'll kind of kickstart it that way.
I love heel Usos. I agree. I think that they could. I think they would be able to do this. I think that you get Naomi's husband and the other one, and you just have them continue on because they were on before there was that injury, which everyone was injured. Left or right?
Jimmy? Was Jimmy hurt?
Jimmy, Jay,
I just looked at
Johnny,
Julian. He doesn't know.
Johnny,
you have to look
Josh.
It up. We don't know. Yeah.
James,
Josh. Johan.
Yeah.
Like, whichever. Yeah. So they were, that heel run was great. Mm-hmm. Just that stark change. And I agree. I think that, because I think that right now, I don't want to bring up, nay, one more tag team until they know what they're doing with that division, or until the division settles down. I don't want to bring DIY or Revival in or anyone else until the division's figured out what it's going to be. Why? So we can just add one more team that I love that ain't doing nothing?
All right, let's move on to Raw and what some are calling the greatest non-wrestling segment in the history of the show, and what some of us in this room are calling the greatest segment ever on the show, ever.
Ever?
Festival of Friendship between Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens. Here's a clip.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, grandmothers and grandfathers, the 61-minute man presents to you the greatest extravaganza in WWE history, the WrestleMania of camaraderie theme celebrations. I present to you the Festival of Friendship!
Oh, shit, he's wearing that fucking hat. The U.S. and Universal champs celebrated their partnership with Art, a magician, and even Gilbert. And it all seemed like it was going great until Owens presented Jericho with a gift of a brand new list.
I know it's not much, but...
It's perfect. A new list! I mean, it's great. I mean, the other list is getting beat up, and it's getting full, and... How come my name's on this?
Oh. Shit. Heartbreak.
Oh my God.
So perfect.
Oh, God. Kevin Owens beating the hell out of Jericho. What is going on? Stop it, Kevin.
There's a 6-month build to a program.
Oh my God.
I mean, this segment was fantastic. I could have gone longer with them as best friends, but I mean, you.
You know what's good? Wrestling.
Wrestling's really
Wrestling
good.
Is
you know
really
what?
Good.
I'm telling you, and I liked that whole Raw. I liked just about every, like on this whole 3-hour Raw, mm-hmm. I liked almost everything on it.
Yeah.
There's really something about when they get in WrestleMania season and Vince starts whipping those writers in the back of their necks yeah. with rulers or whatever.
You had a home. Weird. You ain't going home.
Right. You got to write a segment, a promo for Carmella. She's going to be up in the luxury box with fucking Ellsworth. And you're going to have her eating popcorn.
I mean, when he pulls that list out and it says the list of KO on the back, beautiful. I got goose. I have the hair on the back of my neck is standing up right now. Like, it was just, it's perfect. And it makes me, I just hope that this is not the best that this rivalry like at any point in any program you reach, like this is the peak. And if you, to me, the best programs, that peak is the blow-off match.
Right.
This is a real high bar to try to hit and exceed. And I know both guys are capable of it. But man, like also
just the timing, like everything, every single part of it, like the him pausing
yes.
to say it, like every single part of that was just so. Like, that's what it looks like when you got two dudes who are just really good and they really care. And I was telling Hal before, because I'm also your friend.
Yes.
Hal.
Yes.
It's like, it does feel like, you know, that the This Is Your Life segment, Jericho has had, you know, 15, 20 years to look at that and be like, how can I be better? Mm-hmm. What did we learn from that segment?
Yeah.
And like, he poured it all into this. This is like, it's classic. It's great. Never go away or die or kill anyone, Jericho.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What version of Jericho do you want to come back, Mike? Because what is fate? Like, he's been stupid, arrogant heel. Do you keep that character or does he go right back to calling people jerky and like doing all this?
Can we do stupid, arrogant babyface? Is that possible?
That's the question. Is that the version you want to see?
That is what I want to see.
I think,
stupid, arrogant baby face.
I think you can keep him the way that he is now, but you just, like, don't have him do heel shit. Don't have him say dumb shit.
And the glowing jacket should not come back.
No, it should not come back.
The $25,000 jacket?
I think you got to save that for Finny Finn when he comes back and eventually turns.
Okay.
Because he had a light-up jacket for a while when he was Prince Devitt on the Indies.
Oh.
And it looks real hot on him.
Oh, wow.
whoa.
Eyes rolled back in her head a little bit.
There's just, you know that part of his entrance? You know that part? That part? Yeah, uh-huh. that part's very good.
Woo!
Him, I do want to fuck, you guys.
Oh!
AJ, I don't.
Oh.
Not AJ? Even with this little, with this little man bun on Talking Smack?
AJ, I don't want to fuck. Finn, right. I do.
But the body control. Not interested.
Yeah, it's not as good as AJ's. No one's as good as AJ's.
What about James Ellsworth? Into him?
What?
I don't know. He could rest a drink on his chin when you're done. He lays down real.
Just set it right there. Hold that.
Then she puts the drink on his chin. And then he gets on the microphone.
I'm sure that he is loved very well by many, many people. I'm not gonna face shame that man.
You know what? He is married with children. He's doing very well.
He's a very happy man.
Bless him. One final segment we're gonna talk about. Samoa Joe sat down to discuss what he did to Seth Rollins. Here's a clip.
I am a very dangerous man.
Well, Seth Rollins, I guess, would be the perfect example.
Seth Rollins would absolutely be a perfect example. Redesign, rebuild, reclaim, re-injure. Let's be honest. Seth Rollins was the crown jewel of Raw for how many years? And he couldn't last 2 minutes with me in the ring.
Oh, man. It's the second time in as many weeks that Joe has been allowed to deliver great promo work. And really, like, I think they've built him really, really well. How do you guys feel now? Now we're 2 weeks in. I know he doesn't have a WrestleMania match, but he's obviously going to start mixing it up maybe with Sami Zayn at Roadblock. Do you
Fast
feel
lane.
Like good? You what?
Fast lane.
Fast lane, sorry.
Yeah. It's fair. There have been
something
many...
with driving.
Something with streets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Parallel parking test is coming up on WWE Network. Sign up now and use code SAFEDRIVER to get your first month free and a quote from AAA insurance. Do you feel like the build has been strong for his character? We talked about how he was introduced last week. I feel like looking at it now, the further away we get and the more it happens, the more excited I am about how his character is being built up. Do you guys agree, Mike?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think, you know, they're not only are they bringing him in, casting him strong, making him look strong, they're also having him draw upon his real life frustrations of how long it's taken for him to get into the company. Mm. So he comes across, even when he speaks, is very believable. It just even scared me hearing him talk that shit in my headphones right now. I was like, is he talking to me? What did I do? A sit down interview like that, where, you know, that's just going. You know, he's really tapping into something. It's not like, you know, a promo where you memorize some lines. Like, he really was drawing upon something. And I think, you know, his ring work already is super believable, and they've put him right up at the top, and then have those motivations and promos. I think they're doing a great job so far.
Yeah. Joe's great. He might not have a match at WrestleMania, but like, we know he's going to be involved somehow.
Yeah.
I am confident that he's going to be involved, and they're making him feel important. Which is, that's all I want. All I want when they bring up my babies, my darlings, my one and onlys from NXT is just make them feel important and not just like another like dude on the roster. And he feels important and he feels different.
Mm-hmm. All right. Based on that, so it seems like WWE gets at best 50-50 with the people they bring up from NXT in terms of building them credibly and sustaining it. Will he be a success story eventually, or is he going to be a Rusev where, like, he's a super talented guy and he was super hot when they brought him in, went on a gigantic win streak. When he finally got to talk on the mic, Rusev was fantastic. But now, where is he? He is nowhere to be found. And part of that is the heat with Lana, maybe. But if the rumor and innuendo are to be believed.
I believe it.
We all probably believe it a little bit. Mm. But, you know, is that what's going to happen with Samoa Joe, where he comes out and he's sort of pushed to the moon and then disappears? Are you afraid of that?
I am terrified of that. But I'm, like I said, I'm always terrified whenever one of the NXT people comes up. That's why when Finn came up and he was treated credibly and like a threat immediately, I was like, this is great. This can't last. And then he died.
So. R.I.P. He did have a lovely Valentine's Day with Seth Rollins,
though. He did. It was nice. And with their buddy, the poster of Triple H in the middle.
The game,
Yeah, no. So that's always my fear, is that they're going to wind up messing this up. Right now, they're doing great. And again, I'm gonna be a naive little bear, and I'm going to continue hoping that it's going to work the entire time.
I mean, if you look back at Rusev, Rusev's push was going great until he ran into Mount Cena.
Okay.
And so, since Cena's on another show, that's already a positive for Joe. Now, if he runs into Mount Roman, we might have an issue. But, you know, hopefully Roman will be kept busy other ways for a while, so that didn't have to happen.
That's true. And you already put him over once.
Yeah.
So there you go. Every week, there's always tons of wrestling to get through. If we missed anything, start the conversation at facebook.com/groups/tightsfights or hit us up at tightsfights on Twitter. When we come back, the Nation of Conversation introduces a brand new segment. So don't go away. You downloaded it. You can't change channels. This is Tights and Fights.
Are you sad and confused about world politics? Worried about the upcoming inevitable nuclear war? Or maybe a rat is living in your house? There's a rat living in my house. How do you get rid of a rat from a house? Why not immerse yourself in a completely fictional, imagined podcast for the beef and dairy industries? It works for me. The Beef and Dairy Network podcast is the number one podcast for those involved, or just interested, in the production of beef animals and dairy herds. Don't worry, it's funnier than it sounds. Find us at beefanddairynetwork.com or maximumfun.org, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Oh, God, there's the rat. Oh, God.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Danielle Radford, and I'm joined in the booth by
Hal Lublin
and
Mike Eagle.
How's that feel, Hal?
I like it.
Does it feel weird?
Oh, it's so relaxing. I'm not going to look at Julian's hands through the window or anything. I'm going to put a hammock up and enjoy this segment.
Is that nice? Do you guys feel weird, audience? Huh? Mommy, Daddy switch spots? That
Do
weird?
You feel weird?
I feel like I'm at home.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like it.
So quality women matches are now a staple as WWE programming, as we spoke about earlier. But we can all remember when that was not the case. There was a time when the women were divas and the divas were naked. So now we're going to take a look at the most ridiculous gimmick divas matches. And then we are going to recast these matches to see what they would look like with male wrestlers. This is Misandry Corner.
Misandry Corner.
I can't even add anything to that. It was perfect.
That makes me so happy.
Perfect. He's a pro.
He's so good at this. You should make music for a living. First up on Misandry Corner, we're going to take a look at the Wet and Wild match from Raw on June 12th, 2006, with Tori Wilson versus Candice Michelle. Lillian, go on and break the rules of the match down for us, girl.
The following is the first ever Wet and Wild Water Contest. Now in the ring, there's water balloons, there's water guns, and there's buckets of water. Everything is legal in this match, but the only way to win is by pinfall or submission.
So that's that.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yes, you can. You sure can, bud.
Did you just say that that was on Raw?
This is on Raw. This was a Raw match.
They showed this on free television.
They showed this on free. This isn't even the worst thing they've showed on free television. I've got got buckets of worse ones, but I was like, let's start nice and easy.
Yeah,
we're gonna do a little Ike and Tina. We start easy, and then later on down the line, if the segment keeps going, we'll make it rough. So for those of you who if you want to go back and watch the match, don't do it at work. But so the match is, they're obviously in like shorty shorts and like white tank tops, and they just want to get each other wet until someone pins someone. And that's how the match goes. So guys, you got to watch or rewatch this because we were going to do this for the segment. What were your impressions of this match?
Why does Tori Wilson halfway through it be like, I forget what she did, throw her into the corner or something. She's like, now I'm going to almost show you my beehole. And she hikes up her shorts. Like, look, I get this is all, like, the Attitude Era led to this. And I'm sure there's plenty that we'll explore there. But it's 2006, and it's like, at a certain point, Candice Michelle breaks a balloon. She's like, look at my wet titties. Like, but doesn't break it over the shirt. So it's really, like, it's just... What? Why? Like, just, I... Mike?
This is, all I can think about when I was watching this match is that this is the type of shit what makes my wife not let me show my kid wrestling. Because this is what she thinks about.
Yeah.
She thinks about dumb shit like this.
Yeah. No, that's what it was. And while they're doing it, so the entire thing is like wet and it's covered in like tarp and they've got buckets they're throwing on each other. It's all very stupid. They're trying to still have a wrestling match. Obviously, neither one of these women are really known for wrestling, but they also have to be really ginger when they do it so they don't die. Candice Michelle is actually wearing like wrestling shoes, which go ahead, girl. That's fine. at one point, Tori like goes to whip her into the corner, and instead of like, you know, doing that thing where you like run and like fall into the corner, she kind of very gingerly clops over to the corner.
She like high steps it.
So she doesn't die. And of course you get all of the great puppies references. My favorite thing of this era was always the way that JR would pretend like he didn't get what King was saying. That's always been one of those highlights. Like if King would say something like, it's her puppies, and she's actually carrying a puppy, and he'll be like, oh, You mean the dog that she's carrying?
Talk about that little dog she's got under her arm. Clearly, like, Lawler...
I mean, he's wife shopping,
certainly,
right?
There's at least pre-cum in his pants by the end of this match.
Yeah, he has a raging erection the entire
he's
just time.
Like, slow, he's like, can I rub it with my crown? And, Jim won't
he's
notice.
He's about to knock the entire table over from underneath.
How did he wait until just recently to have that heart attack? Like, how was it not during any of the Sables matches? So now we're going to do the... We've covered the misogyny. So now I want to talk a little bit about the misandry. Mm-hmm. I want to flip it. What two male wrestlers would you put in a Wet and Wild match?
Any era or?
Any era.
Oh, man.
I think you got to go, Bastion Booger?
I thought about Bastion Booger, too. And the Undertaker?
No, I'm thinking like maybe like a Big Daddy V. You know what I mean? Let's get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're gonna get that gaze. Let's get that gaze.
You get it. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Let's get like eight boobs. You know what I mean? Like
all the way down. down. Yeah. They didn't even have abs. They were so big they was boobs.
Let's get the teats. Let's get them teats going.
They were like the guy in Return of the Jedi who had like, that guy's got eight tits. For sure he does. I can tell. He's real. Malakili, I think it's Malakili, the Rancor Keeper, has multiple titties. Or maybe it's a woman in Jabba. Who knows? You know what? Gender's fluid on Tatooine.
That's true. Right. Gender is fluid across the universe.
That would be a good match because Batch and Booger flopped like... It was basically just a big fat guy wrapped in some and maybe some bandages. Poor Mike Shaw.
He was also Friar Ferguson.
Yeah, he was Friar Ferguson.
Oh,
he had another one too.
I forgot about Friar Ferguson.
Yeah.
Which is fair. What do you think, Al? Who would you?
I want to see The Undertaker in a match like that. You know what? Why not make it the blow off to an Undertaker Kane feud?
Oh, my God. That's great. Because how else are you going to put Kane's fire out but with water?
And if he wins, he can set the ring post on fire and dry off afterwards.
Oh, do they wear all white? Is that also what you're picturing?
Yeah, there are white versions, but like the 1998K where it's like a full bodysuit and then one arm is free, but it's all white. And then the Undertaker's in a white, is it his white American Badass gear?
I just love the visual of Kane doing the Candice Michelle, just busting the balloon, over rubbing it over his torso.
Yeah. Undertaker flossing his ass in front of everybody, pulling his tights up. After he rides down, instead of a motorcycle, he's on one of those giant wheeled beach tricycles he can ride under the water. Who would you put in it?
I was thinking about it, and I think maybe that should be the blow off to this best friends feud. Is you just have Owens and Jericho. There's no other way. Because in the same way that this, the Wet and Wild match wasn't for anything, it was for like the winner. And I don't think they even called it a match. I think they called it a contest.
Yeah.
To like, because they knew, which is, that was nice. They was like, no, we're not calling this a match. So it was to get on like the cover of like their summer edition or whatever. So in that same way, you could have Jericho and Kevin Owens fight for the one true list, but you do it with a bunch of like water balloons and like super soakers.
You would have him go, it's the water of Jericho, drink it in, baby.
Oh, that's fantastic. So that's what I think that I want.
Yeah, you'd have to be able to see the outlines of peen.
Oh, no, that's the whole
point. That's the only way.
If we're doing this, we're doing a gender-swapped version, the whole point of it does have to be...
But it is the outline of a flaccid penis, is that appealing to you, really?
Is it? That's a good question.
It couldn't be flaccid. In the same way
now,
that if
wait
it
wait a minute.
Because Tori definitely had... She did something. They kept grabbing their titties when they thought no one was looking. They were clearly trying to make their nipples hard because the whole point is wet shirt, hard nips.
So Kane's got to be in it, or Owens in this case, he's got to be in his pants making it happen. Like, you know what I mean?
I guess you just
got to keep it at a chub the whole time.
You have to stuff it, maybe?
Stuff it? You're going to see the outline.
Oh gosh, how would you do that?
Yeah, thought this through at all.
I haven't, because now I'm like, well, I don't want them touching themselves during the match.
I'll give the men
the dignity that they won't give us.
No, you know what? Let them have boners and then have them look like the ballerinos in Top Secret, where they've got giant boners that the ballerinas are dancing and standing on. Boy, are my references too far out there for anybody listening?
That's pretty
good. You got it. You were there.
I was there.
You were there. Come on.
Oh, geez. So that's going to bring us to the end. We ended on boners. I almost feel
great.
Like this segment is always going to end on boners, you guys. So what misogyny and what great misogynistic matches would you like us to talk about here? And what misandry would you like to see in wrestling's past or present? Let us know at facebook.com/groups/tightsfights or at tightsfights on Twitter. When we come back, we'll share three things with you that have nothing to do with misandry and everything to do with fun. That's coming up on Tights and Fights.
My name is Patrick.
My name is Parker.
Max FunCon has been a huge inspiration in my life.
Now I have this network of friends that I've made that span literally across the entire globe, and they're some of my favorite people in the world.
I truly cannot believe the amount of wonderful and lasting friendships that have come out of this.
If you feel like you might not fit in, as long as you're a good person, you'll fit in because everyone there is good and amazing and kind and wonderful, and you should absolutely go. It will be the best decision of your life.
Make a ton of new friends like Parker and Patrick at Max FunCon. Tickets for Max FunCon and Max FunCon East are on sale now at maxfuncon.com.
Dice and Bytes Podcast. Dice and Bytes.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. And I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Michael Eagle.
Every week we like to end the show by sharing some of the joy of pro wrestling with you. This is the Three Count. And you're going to count to three, and then you're going to rock that bell. Danielle, you're up first. What do you want to put over?
I am putting over a new segment that is on, so the Bella twins, obviously Nikki Bella has been inspired by John's foray into everything else. So now her and Brie, who's no longer on TV all the time except for on like Toad Steve's, they have their own YouTube channel, and they've started doing this thing on their YouTube that originated on, I believe it was Toad's Bells or Toad Steve's, where Daniel Bryan, because he ain't shit, puts twin against twin to see who's smarter because he knows that neither of them is smarter. Because they'll
book
have
smart,
like
book smart.
Book smart. they are two Jessica Simpsons, and it's pretty great. Because they often have segments where they'll open the show or they'll close the show with the two of them in like a car debating things that are fairly common knowledge for a sixth grader. And so they've now put that onto YouTube, and it's very, very funny, and the women are obviously in on the act. So that's what I'm putting over, and here's a clip.
How do you spell hyperbole?
H-Y-P-E-R-B-A.
God damn it.
L-A-B-L-Y.
Whoa. What?
Hyperbole?
Yes.
There's so many extra letters.
H-Y.
P-E-R. Hyperbole. B-O-L-E. L-E? No.
Whoa!
You're right?
Yes!
What a trick!
Very good.
Yes! That means I got it right?
No, you did not.
Oh.
The whole segment is great. It's them. Both of them, I think, have confused hyperbole with hypothermia.
Oh,
and so
God.
When he asks them what hyperbole means, they keep talking about, like, you know, when, like, water's too cold. So it's worth watching. And every episode is worth watching. And if you're missing your Toad Steve's, your Toad Steve's fix like I am right now, then this is a really good way to fill it. And there's three episodes. So
why'd you want to have children with somebody you think is dumb?
That is a very fair question. Why would you want to have... Because he's not just saying that Nikki is dumb, which is a thing he says often or at least implies. He's also saying his wife is dumb.
Yes.
You know what? There are a lot of different kinds of dumb and smart. I will say it takes a lot of bravery. They come across as stone cold dopes. Like stone cold stupid dopes. Which I don't think... I mean, they have obviously some intelligence about them, but none. Like it just feels like it wasn't gained. Like they went to Arizona State, right? Yeah. Yeah, they majored in keg stands. Guaranteed.
It just, you know, it's very obvious that in their household they were athletes and it was okay to just be that.
Yeah. I wish it was longer than 5 minutes or however long it is. It needs to be at least a 45-minute show. And I need 10 of them now.
I would watch that. I would watch a full season of Bella Brands.
Yeah. Why don't they put it in place of that weird part in the interruption thing that they dropped after an episode because nobody wanted to do it anymore?
Whack. My
God.
What
was that one called? Two Bring wrestlers it. Yell at a mark?
Yeah. It's called Call Your Fans Assholes.
Yeah. Mike, what do you want to put over?
I want to put over... A mighty, mighty return had happened on Raw this week during the aforementioned Festival of Friends. I'll say no more. Just play that clip.
Let's hear it.
It's Gilbert! Ah! Ah! Gilbert looks as phenomenal as he ever did. Look
Look at the physique on that man.
He looks 80.
Must be taking classes at Orange
Theory. No, Kevin Owens. Oh, God. Blasting Gilbert.
I love Gilbert. I loved Gilbert in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was always just a super WWF guy, no matter what. I was always team WWF. So the first time I saw Gilbert, I fell out of my chair laughing. And he looks exactly the same.
He does.
And I just love, he comes out with sparklers instead of the pyro.
Yeah, fire extinguisher.
Oh,
it's so good.
God. And think about this, guys. I think there's a spot on the WrestleMania pre-show for Gilbert versus Ellsworth.
I would watch that.
I think this has to happen.
Great cross-brand match.
Yeah, we got to do that.
Oh, man. He's a former champion, guys.
Gilbert,
he was a light heavyweight champion. He lost it to Michinoku.
Yep.
He held it before Michinoku. So there you go. Hopefully he'll start a new streak. Who's next, Gilbert? I want to put over something from Talking Smack. A top three heel. There's so many great heels right now. Like, you talk about heel face dynamics being off. Way more great heels than great baby faces, which we can talk about next week maybe. But one of the best heels is my girl Alexa Bliss, who I hope her last name Coffin means she's Jewish, because I like to think that there are other Jewish people in wrestling outside of me hosting a podcast and a few other folks.
Goldberg,
Simon Gotch,
Gilbert,
Heyman.
There are a few, not enough to make a minion. I don't think we could have a full Shabbat service. But Alexa Bliss, fresh from her loss at Elimination Chamber, was on Talking Smack Tuesday night. She had this to say about Naomi.
If she's trying to postpone our rematch for an injury, I'm going to make sure that injury is legit. And you know what? She can come to WrestleMania still, but I'll be the generous one. I'll buy her ticket. So she can still see the match, sit with her family, and then she gets to see what a real champion looks like.
I mean, you know, I think we've been able to have...
You know what? There are sometimes where a wrestler emerges, and from the first couple months in the company, you go, that person's somebody special, and she is somebody super special.
True story.
She does it in the ring, out of the ring. She's
Savage.
Ready to go.
That was such a good promo.
Yeah.
Oh, that was great. Oh,
fantastic.
That was just the goods. That was the goods.
Oh, man. I'm going to put over one extra thing that I have permission from Julian for, which is this weekend, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 17th, 18th, and 19th of February, I will be in Pensacola, Florida as a guest at Pensacon. Why is this relevant to you? Because I'm moderating two panels. One is Mick Foley, the hardcore legend. The other is Ric Flair, the Nature Boy. So I will be moderating a Q&A with both of those wrestlers and trying to be all cool about it while I'm sweating out of places I didn't know I could sweat. I'm so nervous and excited to be next to two of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
And also in Florida.
It's just hot there, guys. It's the humidity that really does it. Even when it's 50, you'll sweat.
Maybe you should bring some water balloons.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to bring those water balloons. I'm going to pop them on my tits. God. And then I'm going to fill up my shots after my ass crack so you can see my full cheeks. So you can go to pensacon.com, pensacon.com, for more info and tickets. You can walk up and get tickets. Come hang out, and we'll talk some wrestling. There's going to be a bunch of wrestling people there. You won't want to miss it. But that does it for Tights and Fights this week. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. Our hosts are Daniel Radford and Mike Eagle, along with me, Hal Lublin. Our producer is podcasting's best-kept secret, Julian Burrell. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music as well, so we're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and @tightsfights on Twitter. And if you love the show, remember to hit those 5 stars on iTunes and share us with all your friends. You know, people were talking about wanting a t-shirt. You want a t-shirt, guys? Reviews is the way to do it. The more reviews we get, the more likely it is we'll be able to unlock some of that merch. Think of it as a stretch goal for you liking us. We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener support.